Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life and Leadership Gap Analysis Series. On this series, we'll be talking about closing the gap on what we know intellectually and what we do when we're in the middle of the action. We are exploring the principles in motion, getting back to basics by visiting all the greats that we know and love, like Stephen Covey, Jose and Don Miguel Ruiz, Patrick Lencioni, to name a few. In fact, this conversation is part of a 12-part series where we are exploring the 7 habits of highly effective people and the 5 agreements. Our intention was to bring together inspired minds for meaningful discussions about the principles of life and leadership and to explore the gap between what we know and how we are living and leading these principles. Are you sharpening your saw, like Stephen Covey says? Can you say that you are truly impeccable with your word, like Don Miguel Ruiz would say? We are your hosts, Christine LaPierre with Leader in Motion, and I'm Charmaine Hammond with Hammond International. And we both work together to inspire and develop healthy and well-developed teams. I've worked in the correctional system, oil companies, nonprofits, and everything in between. Christine has worked with everything for profit, from manufacturing vehicles to growing consumer packaged goods. Our experience really has covered all bases. And I'm going to hand it over to my co-host, Christine, to introduce our wonderful guest today.
Thank you so much, Charmaine. Today, we're speaking with Elise Coit, CEO of Sustainable Change Consulting.
Nice to be here. Hi, you too.
Thank you so much. I asked Elise to come on to our show to talk to us a bit about her philosophy around don't take things personally. Elise has a broad background in the telecommunications industry. She was in leadership roles in that particular field, and now she has a business that focuses on helping companies improve the performance of their people, especially ones that really recognize the importance of people in sustaining business success. Again, the name of her company is Sustainable Change Consulting, and you can find her on the web at managementconsultingbusiness.net. Elise, as I set out these 12 different principles, the total of the 7 habits of highly effective people and the 5 agreements, you said that don't take things personally really stood out to you, and you'd love to have a conversation about it. Why is that?
I love the topic of not taking things personally, Christine, and thanks for asking me, both of you, Charmaine and Christine, to be here. I love this because this is where people get most unhinged, I think. You know, this is the point at which we take things personally, whether it's our job role, you know, our need to perform, whatever it is that we're seeing. When the more we internalize that as really meaning something personal and emotional for us, is the moment when people most lose their equilibrium. You know, they lose their balance, they lose their perspective. They stop seeing the whole picture and they start just seeing their narrow slice of life. And so that's often where listening ends and perspective narrows. And so it's a problem location, isn't it?
Definitely is a problem location. And I know with myself, this is one that I have to continually stay focused on because it's, even though it sounds so obvious, it's not that intuitive. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, because we look out through our own eyes. We look out from a self. And really our world, we reference ourselves. We really live with our own thoughts all day, whether they're our thoughts about our job or about our family, about our safety or about our money. So we're used to that perspective. So to say to someone, don't take things personally, is like saying, don't think about yourself. That's difficult. Because all day long I'm really referencing, how am I doing? How am I doing with this? What do people think I'm doing? What do I think I'm doing? And back around the circle again. So we've really learned this behavior, you know, and this self-referencing. And it's not always a healthy self-referencing. Like, I believe in self-referencing when you're really connecting with your gut feeling, you know, for what's right for you, what's personally best for you. You know, only you know that. Right, we're not talking about overriding your common sense or your own wisdom or, you know, what you think is right for you. We're talking about the moment when you look at a situation outside of you and you interpret it as having everything to do with you. And mm-hmm. from that moment on, I mean, just think about what happens. Think of a time when that's happened to you and you've looked outside. Maybe someone didn't call you. This is very common. And you thought, oh, they're too busy for me. They don't like me. They're avoiding me, you know, whether in any context. So you feel the shrinkage, like I've just like just shrunk down from my competent, talented, contented self to my insecure, mm-hmm. my insecure position. And now I'm going to look out from that position and judge what's going on. How good do you think my judgment's going to be?
That is such
it's all about me.
What a great point you've just made. And I do a lot of work with companies dealing with conflict. And what you've said has just so resonated for me because I see so many people in conversation tackling these tough issues in business and in workplace relationships. And, of course, that challenge of not taking it personally is very difficult. I see people, the emotions and the history and the drama just takes over. And it becomes so difficult for people not to make assumptions. And I think that's what you've really captured there, Elise, is that these assumptions really inhibit our ability to listen effectively and therefore communicate.
Yeah, we have a natural tendency to interpret the world and to interpret it from our point of view. So, you know, no one's saying that's bad. And in the Four Agreements, he's not saying it's bad either. In fact, he kind of defines this as personal importance, kind of uses that as a... that's Don Miguel Ruiz uses it as a synonym. And I would say over self-importance is almost what happens when you're taking things personally. And, you know, you've become identified with the situation. It's not that it's wrong or bad. It's very normal. But it still gets us into trouble. And I think it has some roots that we'll be able to examine and will really be helpful to people as we talk about it.
Yeah, and I always think of this so much around the protection of self. Really, when I interpret some of the things that he was saying there, I always think of it as, and I even notice this when I'm trying to practice, don't take things personally. It's always like, what part of my belief about myself am I trying to sustain, you know? So again, if somebody doesn't call me back, does that imply I'm not important, you know? Well, if I believe I'm important, then now you've just told me otherwise, so there's a disconnect. So it's interesting how sustaining that belief that I have around how I feel about myself or my position or my role in any situation. It seems like that's where a lot of it stems from.
Well, of course, we think it's coming from the fact they didn't call, but it's coming really from the fact that we've made the identification and we're interpreting it from our position, right? You know that's what's happening. Just to give you a little short story on this, it's kind of you could have a tale of two anythings, you know, when you're not taking it personally and when you are, because they're quite different, and you could have one situation in which you would really be able to do both. So it might be nice to contrast the two. But I was thinking of a project manager that I had, who has inherited this very tough project. You know, it was a network installation, and the client had been promised certain deadlines, and the moment she got the project on her desk, she knew the deadlines weren't realistic. So she started to worry about, you know, what everyone would think would be natural. So what happens when you're a project manager? You get told you're responsible, you have to deliver, and you've got someone waiting for that delivery, and maybe your bonus and a few other things are riding on that too. So it's real easy at that point in time to begin to think, because you have responsibility or accountability, that you are in the game, right? You're there. It's just something that happens to people without them even realizing. She began to interpret the whole situation as something personal. And it turned into avoiding the client's phone calls, finding it difficult to read their emails, and then suddenly, you know, really finding herself having to go into a meeting and deliver some difficult information about the project delays and deadlines. And she was really worked herself up into being petrified because she told herself, you know, this is going to hurt my bonus, they're not going to like it. And that really, all of that happened without truly checking it out. No, it was just really from an internal position that she had taken, that she'd been handed a lemon. And she, from that position, she really looked at, this is really going to hurt me. And you know, you can all identify with that. We've all been handed something that we know is going to be hard to do, or maybe a message, a hard message to deliver. if you're already tender, you're attached to the outcome, you're identified with it, you're insecure because of all of that, now your ability to listen to what's happening with the other person, your ability to hear their position, your ability even to see something new or different has just shrunk down to the narrowest of narrow. And so you now have a problem on top of what's really just the real problem, which is, hey, we have a gap here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a gap between what you're expecting and what we think we can deliver. And that can't be talked about in the context of, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my bonus. People aren't going to like me. What's going to happen with this client? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I love that example, and I think so many people, Elise, can absolutely relate to what you've shared, and it's one of those tough principles that can be so tough to live. And I know myself, there's relationships are important to us in business, and I can think of times where my logic is saying, Charmaine, this is not about you, this is about an issue, but of course other things come up, and it is so challenging to keep focused on the issue and take the whole personal aspect out of it. I see a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah, that's why you can see your friend's problems without, you know, differently, because you're not them.
Exactly.
So, you know, you don't look, you, sometimes we listen to our friends and think, why are they having a problem with that? It's just a very simple issue. You're quite right, Charmaine. When we can't see the issue as an issue that has nothing to do with us, you know, we're getting in there. It's like what Christine said, you know, one of the warning signs that you're getting personal is you identified with an outcome. You're attached to the outcome. You're going to notice that you're starting to feel insecure. Now, you don't get insecure about your friend's problems, do you?
That's right.
And you tell yourself it's because it's her life, but that's not really true. You just have a position from which you're looking. And that position is just philosophical and distanced, and you have perspective. So there's another warning sign. If you're losing perspective, if you don't have distance on an issue, there's a sign that you're getting personal. And you want to get back to perspective, you know, to having a philosophical point of view. And there's only one way to do it, and that's to get yourself, your sense of yourself, your identification with that problem. This is my bonus, my life, my emotional health at stake, and step back from that. Hard to do. We'll talk about that some more too, I'm sure.
You know, it's so interesting listening to this, because as I was preparing for the show, I was thinking about don't take things personally and how that's kind of changed in my career. And one thing that really strikes me while we're talking about this is how when I was in the world of management consulting, because of that responsibility and accountability, I felt that if something was not going well on a project, that I should look upset and disappointed in myself to serve my lead, like basically to serve my boss and my team. I think I had it programmed in somehow that if I didn't look like it was personally upsetting me, that they wouldn't think that I was committed to the performance of the project. So one thing I really noticed is when I moved into the world of managing my own company, and there was nobody standing around watching me one way or another, it became unuseful, basically, to display, you know, as much drama, let's say, taking something personally. You know, it would just became what was the point, or where was the benefit? Have you guys seen that in your own kind of practice?
So that's fantastic, because what happened when you did that? Did you have a narrow focus on the problem or a wide focus? Did you have perspective, or was it hard to listen to what was going on? You know, it's like you can just feel what happens to you. And I think that's an important point. You know, we have a mechanism by which we can tell that we're beginning to head off into a direction that's going to be unuseful. And I'm sure you felt it. I'm sure you felt, like, why would you release it if it was serving you? Why would you go, oh, okay, I don't need that now? You know?
Right.
It wasn't serving you. It was just extra noise.
No, and in that point in time particularly, I was probably performing at my worst from a leadership perspective or from a leadership standpoint. I had a team that worked for me, and and me being in that state that, hey, you look at me, look how disappointed I am in myself because this project's not going well, definitely didn't do anything for me to serve that team.
I mean, I would say, you know, Christine, and this is the core of my work, that there are signs when we are off track. There are signs when we are off track, and they have to do with where our state of mind goes and how you can tell when you're losing that philosophical perspective, when you're losing, you know, you're getting personal and you're losing your ability to look at an issue as just an issue. One of the signs is that emotions are running high. You know, people start getting emotionally distraught, stress is running high. All of those are signs that people have really gone into their thinking about the issue. They've wandered away from being able to look at it neutrally. They've gotten personal, and they're feeling it through their emotional life, in their emotional life. I think it's interesting the example that you gave that was like that was even seen as a sign of engagement. I would say absolutely the opposite if you were in business. If I saw a team that was highly emotional, I would, you know, now we know, right? We didn't know. I didn't know as a young manager. But that's not a sign of high engagement. High stress, overwhelm, multitasking, those are not signs of high engagement. Those are signs of people who are lost in thinking, who have a huge amount of internal assessing going on. How am I doing? How's this doing? What's happening with me is only part of that. And that plays out emotionally for us because we are thinking and feeling beings, and we feel what we think. So taking things personally is one way in which we start really assessing and having a lot of thinking about, you know, me, how am I doing? What's happening with me? Oh, my God. You know, and so we get upset. So why would we look outside to upset and everyone, the whole team stressing out and say, this is a dynamic team? It's not. It's a team that's lost perspective.
What a great comment. I've just connected with what you've said, and it just brought me back to a team that I was facilitating a number of years ago, and it was a highly emotional team, and they had brought me in. This was when I was a mediator, actually, at the time. This is going back quite a few years, and they brought me in to facilitate discussions in the team, and what was so fascinating was to watch this transformation that happened as we actually worked with them to build a team charter. So we put lots of structure around their conversations and dialogue, which removed some of the drama so that they could talk about the issues in a really effective way. And it was so amazing to watch the transformation of this team where they could actually talk about a really challenging situation, something that was difficult, and not lose perspective and be able to get through it and have their relationships unchanged. That was fascinating to watch this maturity development happen in the team.
You help them get impersonal in you, you know, and there are a lot that's wonderful. I mean, the book that I wrote this year, 101 New Pairs of Glasses, kind of talks about the ways in which I've learned this kind of thing by examining my own life, and it's one of the things I encourage people to do, you know, really look beneath. Why can't we talk about this? Why are we highly emotional? What's happening underneath the surface? I learned a great lesson on this. If you want to hear a short story about my own business life, it was a great lesson. Would you like to hear that?
I would.
Okay. So this is an example of exactly how when people will say, well, I can avoid taking it personally, but when someone's coming at me, when they're in my face, that's personal, right? They're insulting you, or maybe they're yelling at you. Well, I had a boss who was like that. It looked to us, I remember when my boss left, I took her position, and she was under this person, and she said to me, I'm warning you, he's here to eliminate all the women in our department. Right? Talk about getting into your thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Well, she felt that everything that he did was personal, and when I took her job and was reporting to him, I could see why. There was a lot of personal attack happening, and it seemed to be directed in particular towards women in the team, and women were hemorrhaging out of our team like crazy, and I was determined I wasn't going to. I was going to try and find a way. And this all culminated in a meeting where we sat in front of, we'd done a VIA strength survey, which is the Gallup approach to training, putting your training money into people's strengths instead of into their weaknesses. So we'd done the assessment, and we're having a team assessment. And they put up on the board everybody's sort of strengths. And leadership strengths were red, and then there were three other colors. So you kind of, you appeared, and the whole team was there, the whole leadership team, and our strengths were in, you know, red, blue. So if people were red, black, blue, blah, blah, it's in different combinations. I was all red. And my boss, this person, who everyone had had so much trouble with, who was very, you know, very personal in the way he came at you, saw my colors were all red, leadership, and he was the leader of the team, and his were not. And he absolutely lost it in the meeting. He attacked me personally in the meeting, right in front of HR and the whole team. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking out of that meeting and practically collapsing on the sidewalk. You know, it's been months of trying to deal with these personal attacks, and I just thought, how are you not supposed to take this personally? This is personal. And then something occurred to me. I thought, wait a second. That was about the color of the chart on the wall. What does this have to do with me? It doesn't have anything to do with me. I mean, I know my name is there and the colors are there, but and suddenly I saw his insecurity. I saw the insecurity that was underneath the attacks. And I think that's what's not available to us when we take things personally. We can't see beyond our own view of the situation. So we react to the situation. I know people mm-hmm. have quit their jobs and left places they love, moved, left relationships. They, you know, we do a lot of things because we can't see past what is coming at us, and we look at it as if, because it's coming at me, I have no choice but to have this position. So I think what Don Miguel is pointing to, and don't take it personally, is your choice. And it's very hard to see that choice if you're just lost in personal thinking about it, and it's all about you. What's on offer when you don't is that you can see something different. You begin to see what you overlooked, what your emotions were hiding from you, what your personal opinion was keeping you from seeing, and you start listening and hearing something different. I think that's what's possible for us. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think that is a good story, and I have to say that I bet a lot of professionals out there have experienced something similar. I mean, I think about it, and I know in the Fifth Agreement he mentions, you know, nothing others do is because of you. It's a projection of their own reality. But on the flip side, when somebody is projecting their own reality on you, you start doing the math. Like you said, it was really about the colors on the board and him, you know, having an experience about what, you know, who he was and where he stacked against the others in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That was really what was occurring for him, but he found a way to make it feel personal. That's a great story, Elise.
It is a great one.
And there's our tip-offs. We can add that to our tip-offs, you know. If you're feeling identified, attached to the outcome, and insecure, and you're comparing, those are great tip-offs that you're getting personal. And I think there's two things that come into play that are also really just worth mentioning, just two components that if we don't understand, really kind of make it look difficult, because we are talking about closing the gap, right, in the mm-hmm. Life and Leadership series, about closing the gap between principle. Like, that's a great idea. Don't take it personally. But how do you do that? And I would say the two things to be aware of is there are two things that influence whether you take things personally. You got all those warning signs we've been talking about. And the two key things are your mood in the moment and what you both have identified, your sense of self, who you think you are. And it's really so worth checking in with both of those. Your mood in the moment is going to vary depending on your thinking, and it really colors what you think you see. And the question of who you are, if you think you're your job, if you think you're your results, if you think you're your bonus, it's worth going back and just saying, well, who am I? What's the difference between me and my job? What do I think my job is? And you might find your job isn't to please everyone, please the boss, and get a bonus. You might find your job is to be happy, do your best, another agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we forget that, don't we?
Yes. Your comment about what influences us, taking it personally, and your mood in the moment. I had a really interesting learning years ago. I was doing some consulting with a team, and this was a fairly new leader, very, very skilled in the in the technical part of his job, new to leadership, though, and was really struggling with going from being what we call one of the guys to now leading the guys. He had been a team member with a group of colleagues for many years and then was now, of course, their leader. And what you've just said about our mood in the moment is so intriguing. I remember having a conversation with this leader. There was a big blow-up at work, and what had really happened is he had made a decision based on that specific moment of time where he felt torn between these two loyalties. Do I be this a friend to this group of colleagues who have supported me all these years, or do I be a leader? And he made a decision based on emotion and a moment that really, really hurt him. But what was so interesting for me is that he let me in on that sort of internal conversation that he was having with himself. And he was later identify that he was not even aware of how he was feeling in that moment. You know, all these emotions were racing through his body and his mind, but he hadn't really tapped into that. He wasn't self-aware. And I was grateful that he shared that story with me because it reminded me of being self-aware, that often our emotions take over, business takes over, and we're not really clear on how we're showing up in the moment.
That's so wonderful for listeners to hear that, and I know they'll appreciate that and everything you're going to talk about in the series. And that's, you know, that's why, you know, at Sustainable Change Consulting, that's all we train in. We just teach people how thinking works and how it influences your emotional life. Because I know from my time in business, people are talented. We know our jobs. We're not here because we're incompetent and we need training. We love to train on new things. We like to do our jobs. It's this is what interferes. We get into a low state of mind, and just like an athlete, you know, at the moment you're on the starting block, you can't be thinking about your shoes, what's going on at home, or how your hair looks. You know, you have to be present in the moment. So we teach people about and train in the consulting work that we do in business about how everyone's performance rises when they understand the role and the loop that we live in, which is the connection between what we think and how we feel. And I think that's really why I wanted to do and talk about with you guys, taking things personally, because that's where this comes into play. It's where I'm really focused on what am I thinking, or I'm not aware of what I'm thinking, but boy, it sure feels like it's all about me. And down goes our state of mind. And in that place, we make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm. That is fantastic. And I have to say, this conversation, you've really made my wheels turn on different parts of my work life and even some history and kind of how different things play out. So I really appreciate you having this conversation with myself and Charmaine. Just to close, we're just running out of time. Just to close, let's go around and see what each of us think is the most important point or idea or takeaway that our listening audience should really reap from this conversation. And Elise, we'll start with you.
Well, I'd love to encourage people to listen again and see what it is that stood out for them. What stood out for me when I reflected on this, and I think when we reflect on any topic, what we hear for ourselves what's important. And what stood out for me was just that sense of who we think we are and how that's at play all the time and how that messes with us. And when that's not there, how we're able to see neutrally and from a philosophical position, which helps in everything, listening, right action, and knowing what to do and hearing the new idea that you're going to need for the creative solution in the moment.
That's fabulous.
That's great. And Charmaine, do you have any ideas that you want to share?
Oh, my wheels are just going here. What I'm left with is many, many thoughts, and one that's jumped out for me is the importance of being present. And so when I'm having an emotional reaction to something, I'm going to check into where my thoughts are, because I think that might be good for me to reflect on what's going on intellectually, what's churning around in my mind that's connected to this emotion that I'm having. So that's what I was left with.
That's great. And the thought that I had that's really stood out to me is that Don Miguel says, don't take things personally. And what I've learned over time is that when you tell people not to do something, they have a tendency to focus on whatever is following the do not do sign. So I loved how when Elise commented back to Charmaine, she said, you helped them get impersonal or impersonal. Mm-hmm. And I really think that was the big thing that stood out to me, is if you could make that focus, to make that the focus is actually being impersonal instead of, you know, asking people not to take things personally, will actually help have our eyes on the right behavior that we're trying to reach for. So with that, thank you, ladies, so much. And again, we're out of time, so I'll wrap up. I hope everyone out there listening has an excellent day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charmaine. Christine, it's been a pleasure.